Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Art Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Zen 24/7, All Zen, All the Time by Philip Toshio Sudo presents Zen as a practical way of living rather than a remote religious ideal. Known for blending accessible language with a Japanese-American perspective, Sudo frames Zen as something you do in ordinary moments, how you work, speak, drive, eat, and handle conflict. The book emphasizes direct experience over theory, inviting readers to notice habits of mind that create stress and separation, then to return to a simpler, more awake relationship with daily life. Instead of treating meditation as the only doorway, it points to everyday activities as training grounds for attention, patience, and clarity. The tone is motivational and down to earth, aiming to help modern readers apply Zen principles without requiring a monastic setting or specialized vocabulary. Overall, it functions as a compact guide for bringing steadiness and presence into a fast, distraction-heavy routine. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Zen is a daily practice, not a special occasion. A central theme of the book is that Zen is not confined to a cushion, a temple, or a retreat. It is a moment-to-moment discipline of showing up for what is actually happening. This shifts the reader from thinking about Zen as a hobby to relating to it as a way of life. The practical implication is that every routine becomes usable: brushing teeth, waiting in line, answering email, cooking dinner, or walking to the car. The book encourages a form of training that is continuous yet light, where you keep returning to the present without turning it into a performance. That approach also reframes progress. Instead of measuring success by blissful states or perfect calm, progress becomes the ability to come back sooner when you drift into agitation, worry, or autopilot. By emphasizing everyday repetition, the book helps demystify Zen and reduces the intimidation many people feel around spiritual practice. The reader is invited to see ordinary life as the curriculum. Challenges are not interruptions to practice, but the material of practice itself. This makes Zen feel available to people with jobs, families, and busy schedules who still want depth and clarity. Secondly, attention training through ordinary actions. The book highlights attention as the core muscle that Zen strengthens. Rather than building attention only through formal meditation, it frames ordinary actions as micro practices. The idea is simple: do what you are doing, fully, when you eat, taste, and chew. When you listen, listen without rehearsing a reply. When you clean, just clean. Over time, this approach reveals how often the mind lives elsewhere, replaying the past, predicting the future, or narrating every event. The value is not in judging that tendency, but in noticing it and returning. The book positions this returning as a compassionate discipline that gradually reduces stress and reactivity. When attention stabilizes, people often find they make better decisions, communicate more clearly, and feel less drained by constant mental noise. This also affects productivity. Instead of multitasking, the reader is nudged towards single-tasking with care, which can improve quality and reduce errors. The emphasis stays practical attention, is trainable in traffic, at work, and during conversations. By connecting Zen to common moments, the book encourages readers to build a lifestyle that supports presence instead of treating presence as an occasional achievement. Thirdly, working with the ego and letting go of mental clutter, another key topic is the way ego habits shape suffering. In a Zen-flavored sense, ego refers less to healthy confidence and more to the compulsive need to defend an image of self being right, being admired, winning, or staying in control. The book invites readers to notice how quickly everyday situations become personal drama when identity is at stake. A comment from a coworker, a delayed response, or a small inconvenience can trigger stories and emotional spirals. By seeing these reactions as patterns, the reader gains space to choose a different response. Letting go here does not mean becoming passive. It means dropping unnecessary mental clutter, resentment rehearsals, status comparisons, and rigid expectations. The book encourages simplicity in perception, returning to what is directly happening rather than what the mind claims it means. That shift can soften conflict and reduce exhaustion. When ego grip loosens, relationships often become less performative and more honest. The reader may also discover a more durable confidence that does not depend on constant validation. In this way, the book frames Zen as psychological hygiene, a way to clear the inner room so life can be met with steadiness and humor. Fourthly, compassion and connection in everyday relationships. Zen 24/7 also points toward how presence changes the way we treat people. When attention is scattered, we tend to reduce others to roles: the slow driver, the difficult client, the unhelpful partner. The book encourages meeting people as they are, not as characters in our internal story. This starts with listening, pausing, and noticing emotional surges before acting on them. Practically, that can mean taking a breath before responding, asking a clarifying question, or choosing a simpler, kinder phrasing. Compassion is framed less as a sentimental feeling and more as a skill recognizing shared human pressure, fear, and desire, and acting from that recognition. the book implies that Zen is tested most in relationships because other people reliably trigger our preferences and pride. Rather than viewing those triggers as failures, it treats them as training opportunities. Over time, the reader can develop more patience and less defensiveness, which improves teamwork, friendships, and family life. This topic also suggests that Zen is not self-improvement in isolation. As reactivity decreases, we become easier to be around, more reliable, and more capable of repairing conflicts instead of escalating them. Lastly, bringing Zen into modern life stress, pace, and choice. A practical thread running through the book is how to live Zen in a high-speed, high-stimulation culture. Modern routines reward urgency, constant connectivity, and performing competence. The book counters this by emphasizing deliberate pace, clear priorities, and the ability to be still even while active. Zen in this context becomes a method for working with stress without needing perfect circumstances. The reader is encouraged to recognize when the body is tense, when the mind is racing, and when choice has narrowed to impulsive reactions. From there, Zen practice becomes the restoration of choice, slow down, breathe, simplify, and respond intentionally. This approach can support mental health by reducing rumination and helping people recover from overstimulation. It can also affect lifestyle decisions, what commitments to accept, how to structure a day, and how to create small pockets of quiet. The book presents Zen as compatible with ambition, as long as ambition is not fueled by anxiety or identity hunger. The aim is not to escape modern life, but to live it with clarity. In that sense, Zen becomes a portable framework for stability, helping readers navigate work pressure, information overload, and everyday unpredictability. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a practical, everyday approach to Zen without heavy doctrinal discussion. Busy professionals, students, caregivers, and anyone who feels pulled in too many directions can benefit, especially if they are curious about mindfulness, but do not want an academic or monastic presentation. The main life benefit is its insistence that change happens in ordinary moments. By treating daily routines as practice, the reader can build more stable attention, reduce stress-driven reactivity, and improve relationships through better listening and calmer responses. The ideas can support clearer decision-making and a sense of groundedness that does not depend on perfect external conditions. Compared to many similar books that focus primarily on formal meditation methods or abstract philosophy, this one emphasizes integration Zen while driving, working, talking, and dealing with frustration. That makes it easier to apply immediately, even for beginners. Its value also lies in accessibility, presenting Zen as a lived attitude and a set of simple disciplines rather than an achievement or identity. If you want a compact guide that encourages consistent practice in the real world, and you prefer practical reminders over complex theory, this book is worth buying and returning to as a daily reset. If you would like to support Philip Toshio Sudo, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.